Living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
So what really works for brain health? I mean, there's so many choices out there. I often encourage my listeners to go on Google, just type in brain health or brain supplements, brain food, brain games, whatever you want to type in, and you're going to talk about billions of pages will come back. So I have with me here is Alvaro Fernandez. He's co-author of The Sharp Brain's Guide to Brain Fitness, and he's here to discuss how to avoid the cluster of misconceptions, superficial and conflicting media coverage, and aggressive marketing claims to discover what really works and what doesn't to improve brain health at any age. Mr. Fernandez, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Dr. Mike, a pleasure to be with you.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I think this is really awesome because I really want to get down to the nitty-gritty here, what really works for us. Now, first of all, I love your book, lots of great reviews, and I'm going to paraphrase something to begin with. You say that our brain function improves drastically throughout childhood and adolescence following a predictable developmental progression. Why, Alvaro, as we get older, as we go into adulthood, why does the brain kind of lose some of that plasticity, that ability to develop and grow? Why do we lose brain function, basically, as we age?
Well, there's a couple of reasons, and I will say the bad news, but then I will add the good news, which is recent great news. So the main reason is the production of new neurons decreases. So a kid is born with billions of neurons, and then the first years, he loses some of those neurons, just maintains the one he really uses. As we get older, we still maintain the generation of new neurons, but perhaps only a few thousand every day instead of hundreds of thousands. And that means we have to be more careful about how we maintain and how we make those neurons thrive and stay in our brains and be useful for us.
Yeah, so we lose a lot of brain cells, basically, as we get older.
Correct, but the good news is that until maybe 5-6 years ago, all scientists would have said that after age 18 or 20, there's no new neurons at all being created in the brain. And today we know two good news. One, every single day in our lives, we're creating maybe between 2 to 10,000 new neurons, no matter our age. So this is better news than we thought. And second, there is things we can do, such as aerobic exercise, that can even enhance that creation of new neurons. So we have more control over our brain health than we ever thought we had.
That is good news. And is that what you refer to in the book as cognitive reserve, that we have this reserve almost of brain function, of brain cells, and we can maintain that and even increase it doing some of these things that you ascribe in your book. Is that what you mean by the reserve that we have?
Correct. It's more than that. One is, so the brain reserve is like investing in your bank account. The more money you have, the better you will be ready for retirement, correct? Because you can get money from the bank. So
right.
The brain
Sounds
reserve
right.
is about creating new neurons. But also, what can we do for those new neurons to stay there and not to die? And it's a combination of physical. Well, we'll talk later about the different pillars, but it's not only one element. It is a variety of elements that contribute to that investment in our brains.
Well, let's go through that. Let's go through the things that work to help improve our brain function and that reserve. You've already mentioned exercise. Is there a specific type of exercise that's best for the brain,
yep.
and how does that really work?
Yep. So, good question. The main exercise that clearly helps is aerobic exercise. It doesn't need to be running a marathon, but it has to be something that feels an effort, that we feel our breath, we are out of breath. So it can be fast walking, it can be jogging, it can be most sports, and that's better than just weightlifting, for example. So some aerobic exercise, and the minimum threshold that has clear benefits is around 2 hours a week. That can be broken down in as many sessions as you want, but anyone who lives a sedentary life, less than 2 hours aerobic exercise per week, maybe the big low-hanging fruit would be to start doing some sport, doing more walking, doing more hiking, doing more jogging.
So that's not so bad. 2 hours a week, I think that's something we all can handle. Plus, there's benefits, not just to your brain. It goes, you know, the benefits are all over your body there. So aerobic exercise, keep that in mind, listeners. That's what's key for brain health. Now, what about, now, we talk about diet so much, and we should, right? Our diet in this country is not all that great. How does that impact brain function?
Yeah, so there are, and as you said before, there are many, many misconceptions. But just the main guidelines that are pretty scientifically clear. One is the importance of avoiding processed high-sugar foods because they give us too much glucose all of a sudden, but we need a constant flow of glucose. And so those foods, those fast foods, are pretty don't help us. So if we can avoid them, that's extremely important. Then omega-3.
So let me ask a question, though, here. Let me ask a question. So the brain itself is really reliant on glucose, which comes from, you know, the table sugars, for instance. It's very important for that. But however, it needs to be a nice constant supply. When we get these foods that flood our system, that's the issue, right? It's that surgence of sugar into the bloodstream. Okay, just make sure we're straight there. What about some of the you know, in your book, it was this. I found this to be really interesting. So we've gone from aerobic exercise into sugar diet. You mentioned social interactions as being important to that cognitive reserve. What do you mean by that?
Well, we will talk later about brain training, but in a sense, social interaction can be a great way of complex brain training. You we have to pay attention to what someone is telling us. If we're trying to solve a complex problem, we have to think new ways to solve the problem. So social interaction has different types. The type that does not help the brain is, in a sense, the mindless interaction, where we just chat, we don't listen to each other, nothing of value happens. But when we are engaged in something through work, through volunteering, through something meaningful where we have to plan ahead and solve a problem, that's perhaps the best food we can offer to our brain.
So let's just make sure we're going to review just for a second. We're talking about increasing that cognitive reserve, preserving brain function, things that really work. About 2 hours of aerobic exercise. Watch the surge of those sugars, right? Although your brain needs the sugar, you got to watch how much floods into your system. Social interactions play a role here. Now I know what I'm about to ask you, Alvaro. You really believe in this. How important is stress reduction in our daily lives for brain health?
That's extremely important and often overlooked. Why? I mentioned earlier that aerobic exercise can enhance the creation of new neurons. Well, too much stress is exactly the opposite. It can either prevent the creation of new neurons or even contribute to the death of existing neurons. So people who have a long period of stress leading to depression have physical smaller hippocampus, which is critical for learning and memory, than people who have lower levels of stress. So stress in our society is kind of very difficult to avoid unless we go and live in the top of the mountain. But for most of us, we cannot avoid stressful circumstances. We have to learn how to deal with our stress and with those situations.
So again, as you said at the get-go, it really takes, you know, a concerted effort. The exercise, watch the sugar, social interactions, stress reduction. I know also in the book you mentioned the importance of, say, omega-3 oils, and there's a few other supplements we can get into the next segment. But if you had to choose, what would be your number one supplement for the brain, if you can just give it real quick?
Maybe learning how to breathe. And I don't know if you call that a supplement, but learning how to breathe, how to meditate would be the most basic thing that all of us could
That's
learn.
That's another good thing. Okay. All right. Awesome. So the book is called The Sharp Brain's Guide to Brain Fitness. And you can get that, I'm sure, at Amazon and all kinds of different sites. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.